Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the all-new KBLU Radio Network. That's the Blue Raven Network. Visit our website at www.1blueraven.beebly.com.
Never replicated. You're listening to the all-new KBLU Radio Network, Blue Raven Network.
Welcome to FOJC Radio Church. Grab your Bible and your pens and your paper, and when two or three are gathered in His name, the Lord is right here with us. So thank you for joining us, and here's Brother David. You're listening to FOJC Radio, where truth in the Word of God is found. Ephesians 5:28-29. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man even yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church.
Praise the Lord, and I just want to say to each and every one of you how much I appreciate you that love the Lord and want to study His Word with us. We just really appreciate that so much, and we do certainly love you so much in the Lord for that. Now, we're going to begin in 1 John chapter 3. We're going to read verse 2 and 3, and I'm going to be bringing forth a warning that has come by revelation and confirmation concerning the perfected bride. It is indeed time for warning and foundation, as Sister Karen said. Now, I want to tell you kind of my take on dreams and visions. The Bible says that dreams and visions are a way that the Lord speaks to His body. Now, there are very few people that I pay attention to in this regard, and for this reason, if I don't know a person and I don't know that they are centered in on the doctrine of Christ, I pay very little attention to it. There's all kinds of this stuff on the internet. You can find all kinds of it, and I don't waste my time with it. But when I know that a person is centered on the doctrine of Christ, and I know their heart, then I listen. And the reason for that is this, that to whatever extent a person rejects and is in error concerning the doctrine of Christ, that is the extent to which their revelation is going to be polluted. And you're going to get a strange mixture of truth with error, and we just don't need that. We don't have time for that. But yet, we need to recognize that dreams and visions and prophecy, this is a very real way that the Lord speaks unto His body. And when He does speak, we need to pay attention. And we're going to pay attention this morning, and we're going to read in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 and 3. And this is another one of those things, just like 2 Corinthians 3:18. You just can't read this and skip by it and go on to something else. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2 says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." We read Hebrews 9:28 that says that we, to those that look for his appearing, that he will appear to them. And we read Titus 2:13 that says that our great hope, our blessed hope, is the appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, it says here in 1 John 3 and 2 that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And verse 3 says, and every man and every woman that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Now, this is one of those things that you can't run by. You have to go here. You have to allow the Lord to purify you. Now, I put forth the question in our meeting a couple of weeks ago here locally, and I asked the people, what is the bride of Christ? And everyone there, and there were people there in that meeting that had been going to church and been saved for 40 and 50 years, and they universally said, the church is the bride of Christ. Well, I'm here this morning to tell you, no, it's not. Not only is the church not the bride of Christ, but this is extremely dangerous thinking, and we're going to explain that in some detail. We've got to unpack that and understand that this morning. And Ephesians chapter 5 in verse 25, there's an analogy between the church and Jesus Christ and the human marriage. But let's read it. Ephesians 5:25, "Husband, love your wives." I love you, Sister Donna. You know, here I am. Oh, my goodness, I'm still in love. I can't believe it. After all these years. And we're coming up very soon on a big anniversary. But I love you, Sister Donna. She is a real warrior for the Lord. Now, Ephesians 5:25, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." The church is not the bride of Christ. But there's an element of truth in the church being the bride, because the church will one day become the bride of Christ when the Holy Ghost will present the church to Jesus. And what has to happen? It says here that it is not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. He that hath this hope in himself purifieth himself as he is pure. And to become the bride, and I'm going to explain that fully this morning, but what we need to understand, that if we want to be a part of the bride, we have to submit ourselves to the Lord to have the spots and wrinkles taken out, and we must walk before the Lord in holiness. Now, let's look at 2 Corinthians 7 and 1. And I'll be honest with you. If we didn't have to go here, I'd just soon skip this myself. But we've got to go here, because every man that hath this hope purifieth himself as he is pure. And to be a part of the bride, we've got to submit ourselves to the death of the old man. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now that's saying a lot, isn't it? That's going where we don't want to go. That's taking a look at ourselves. That's allowing the Holy Spirit to show us things about ourselves that maybe nobody else even knows about. Those dark corners of our heart where unclean things dwell, where there are filthiness of the flesh and spirit that God wants to clean from our lives. But I must warn this morning that everyone that has the hope of his appearing must purify himself as he is pure. And if we do not submit ourselves unto the removal of the spots and the wrinkles, we will not be a part of the bride. And when the scripture says that we are to cleanse ourselves, the only thing that we can do to cleanse ourselves is to go to the Lord and allow the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse us from all sins. 1 John 1, 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You have to be specific. You have to confess your specific sins unto the Lord. You have to confess your spots. You have to confess your wrinkles. And you have to submit them to the cross of Jesus Christ. We have to let the old man die and the fruit of the Spirit come forth in our lives through the Holy Spirit. There is no other way but coming through the cross and coming through the blood. We've got to deal with it. We cannot just skirt by 1 John 3 and 3 and 2 Corinthians 7 1. Because the bride of Christ is being wooed now by the Holy Spirit, and there's no other way to come but by way of the blood and by way of the cross. Now, in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 7, Revelation chapter 19 and verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. And the way we get ready is to come to the Lord, to allow him to cleanse us from our spots and wrinkles. And we have to confess this unto him, that we will be able to be presented unto the Lord a glorious church. Now, there's no scripture in the Word of God that says the church is the bride of Christ. The church is not the bride of Christ. I'm going to show you what is, but as I say, there's an element of truth in that, because we will become the bride if we allow ourselves to be taken through the purification process by the Holy Spirit. And this is just sanctification. This is just that which was preached by John Wesley and Charles Finney, that without holiness, no man will see the Lord. Now, you haven't tuned in this morning to Happy Church. This isn't the place where somebody tells you that lukewarm's okay, and you can live like a dog and go to heaven. This is where we will tell you the truth. Even if it hurts, we've got to go here. We've got to go here. Because the Lord is now dealing with people to prepare themselves to become the bride of Christ. Now, Revelation 21 and 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. The Word of God says that the holy city, the New Jerusalem, that this is the bride of Christ. In verse 9 and 10 in Revelation 21, and there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, and I will shew thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. We've got to see that this morning. We have to have the revelation of the bride. Let the Holy Spirit show you. And in verse 10, and he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and shewed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of God from heaven. Now, while it's true that the church is not now the bride of Christ, when the church enters in to the New Jerusalem and the Holy Spirit presents the church that has been de-wrinkled and despotted and purified, then that glorified, purified church will be presented to Christ, and then, and only then, will the church become, in New Jerusalem, the bride of Christ. The thinking now that the church is the bride, it's like, oh yeah, I'm the bride, I'm all this, I'm all that. No, you're not. You will not become the bride unless you submit to the purification process. And this is just Christianity. This is just sanctification. But it sounds so odd, you know. The Bible says, without holiness, no man will see the Lord. And today, that just sounds outrageous because, you know, these guys are teaching that you don't even have to confess your sins anymore. You know, we've got Masonic Gnosticism blasted over the Christian airwaves 24/7. But I am here to tell you this morning and to warn you that you will not come any other way into that holy city but through the death of the old man. There is no way to conquer sin but dying to it by faith in the cross and the finished work of what Christ did there. The only thing that can touch sin is the blood of Jesus Christ. The 21 days of purpose can't do it. Or whatever it is, the 21-day fast. There was a new one the other day. It was 21 days or however many days it was to taming your tongue, you know, and they're probably going to have to read that book two or three times. But all the schemes of man are just that. They're schemes of man, and there's only one answer to sin. And that's the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on Calvary's cross. Now, there's a chapter in the Old Testament, the 24th chapter of Genesis, that teaches all of these things in type, shadow, and analogy. And it's such a beautiful chapter in Genesis chapter 24. And the chapter is about Abraham. When Abraham sent his chief steward, Eliezer, to seek out a wife for his son Isaac, and Eliezer went and found Rebekah and brought him back as a wife for Isaac. And this is a type and a shadow of the Holy Spirit seeking out the bride of Christ. And Eliezer was a type of the Holy Spirit. And this morning, right now, the Holy Spirit is dealing with people's hearts, and he is wooing them that it's time for you to come into the bridal chamber. It's time for you to come into that secret place of the Most High, to be transformed, to be changed. He is wooing and he is calling. He is letting people know, even though what we are saying this morning is 180 degrees different than what you will hear over the mainstream media. The Holy Spirit is witnessing to your heart this morning that this is true. He is wooing. He is calling. Just like Eliezer sought out Rebekah for Isaac, the Holy Spirit is calling this morning to come to the cross and die. Let the old man die and allow the Holy Spirit to break forth the fruit of the Spirit in your life. And to prepare yourself, get ready, get ready, get ready. The bride hath made herself ready, and now is the time. This has come by revelation and confirmation. There is a warning that must be put forth this morning, that those that don't come by way of the cross and the death of the old man, you're not going to come at all. Now, I want to read one scripture from Genesis chapter 24. As I said, this whole chapter is beautiful. And there was a man here in Evansville that wrote a song about the 24th chapter of Genesis. It's called The Camel Train. And it's a beautiful song. And it's about the story of Eliezer seeking out Rebekah for Isaac, which is a type of the Holy Ghost seeking out the bride of Christ. Now, in Genesis chapter 24, I want to read verse 14. And when Eliezer went to seek a wife for Isaac, he prayed to the Lord, and the Lord led him to use a sign, or a fleece, if you will, that he might be able to identify this young lady that would become the bride for Isaac. And this is also the fleece or the sign by which we identify the bride of Christ. Now, in Genesis chapter 24, verse 14, let's read the sign that the Lord gave unto Eliezer. And this was his prayer. He says, "And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast shown kindness unto my master." Now, there were camels that were brought there, and they were loaded upon with all of the goods that were going to be gifts for Rebekah, or whoever would be the bride. And in verse 10 it says, "And the servant took 10 camels of the camels." And a camel is the taxi cab of the desert. And camels can go several days without drinking. And when a camel finally gets to the water hole, the camel can suck down some water. And when this young lady, all that Eliezer did, he asked for a drink for himself on a hot day. But not only did this young lady give him a drink, but drew water for them 10 camels. Now, if you draw water for 10 thirsty camels, that was a workout. Let me tell you, that wasn't just a little thing. That was a big job for that young lady. And she did it because she had a servant's heart and she had a heart of love. She was motivated to do good unto this stranger just because her heart was to do so. And if you're the type of person that just wants to do the very minimum you think you have to do to get by, or if you want to live as close to the world as you think you can and still justify yourself being saved, you're not a part of the bride. You might not be saved at all. We're talking about love. Love is what motivated this young lady. Her love for the Lord and her love for other people give her the desire to do over and above what a normal person would think should be done in this situation. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 22, there is a very amazing and seldom talked about scripture that I want to look at this morning. This is another scripture that you're never going to hear in Happy Church. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 22. And the scripture says this: if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. Now, that word anathema means let him be cursed. And the word maranatha means our Lord is coming. And this scripture means, and this is the Apostle Paul's words through the Holy Ghost, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be cursed, our Lord is coming. And Paul isn't being harsh here. He's just being realistic and factual. Because in view of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord is soon coming. And if you do not love the Lord enough this morning to submit yourself to the purification process, you will be cursed. There's no other way. You will either love the Lord enough to come by way of the cross to confess your spots and wrinkles unto Him this morning and allow Him to cleanse you from all filthiness of the flesh or the spirit, or you are going to come under the curse. There's not no door number three. It's either door number one or door number two this morning. Now, 1 John chapter 3. Let's go back to 1 John chapter 3, and we read verse 3, and we're going to take it up one more verse. 1 John chapter 3, and let's read verse 3, and then we're going to read one more verse. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 3, and every man that hath this hope in himself, excuse me, I misread that. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Now, this word in the Greek is hamartia, and it means to miss the mark. Now, do you remember the scripture we read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2? What was the false prophet called? The man of sin. Hamartia, same word in the Greek. And what characterizes the man of sin is the idea that you can sin and there's no serious consequences for it. Sin is trivialized, and in the bottom line, there's two kinds of preachers. One kind of preacher believes that when a person is born again, that God changes the sinner. The other type of preacher believes that when a person is born again, that God changes sin to somehow make sin no longer deadly. In the Old Testament, in the book of Ezekiel 18 and 4, it says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. In the New Testament, in Romans 6:23, the scripture says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Sin is deadly, and sin still kills. And sin, if it is unconfessed and not taken to the Lord, will keep you from being a part of the bride of Christ. We got to go to 2 Corinthians 7 and 1 this morning. We've got to go there because there's no other way to be a part of the bride. I am going to close this morning, I believe, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, which is another scripture concerning the bride, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And I want to read verse 2 and 3. And the scripture here says, this is the Apostle Paul speaking, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Note how specific the Word of God spells it out. One day, the church will be presented to the Lord as a chaste virgin. Verse 3 says, "But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Jesus Christ is a simple message. If Jesus said it, it's true. You follow the red letters, the doctrine of Christ, it's just that easy. Jesus never said, "Interpret me and you'll have eternal life." You better not interpret Jesus. You better believe him. And if the devil can corrupt you and pull you from the simplicity that is in Christ, the Lamb of God that came to take away the sins of the world, he didn't save us in our sins, but from our sins. For this reason was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And the man of sin will tell you that you do not have to go there, that sin is not a problem. And I am here to tell you this morning, as the gospel says in Matthew 1:21, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Not in their sins, but from their sins. And this morning, I want to close with a word of prayer, and let's just have an altar call this morning. Let's just invite anyone that has never come to the cleansing fountain of Calvary to become a child of God. Let's just invite them this morning to come to the cross, to confess that you're a sinner. And as Romans 10:9 says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And if you're just willing to admit that you're a sinner and to place your faith in what Jesus did on Calvary's cross, you can become born again and a child of God this morning. So we're going to close out with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your revelation of the Holy Spirit. Father, we do not receive these things in fear, but we receive them with the encouragement. Like you said in your word, we lift up our heads because we are excited that our soon coming King and our redemption draweth nigh. Father, bless each and every one of our listeners, encourage us in the faith, and bring us back together next week on FOJC Radio Church. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for being a part of FOJC Radio Church. You can contact us at FOJC, Post Office Box 4174, Evansville, Indiana 47724-4174. Or you can call us at area code 812-473-3735. Or you can email us at lastdayschurch@cs.com. Or you can check out our website at www.ritualabusefree.org. That's all one word, ritualabusefree.org. That's RITUAL
abusefree.org. And please remember to tune in next Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Time. Thanks and God bless.
You're listening to the all-new KBOU Radio Network. That's the Blue Raven Network. Visit our website at www.1blueraven.weebly.com.
Forever, you are.
all-new KBOU Radio Network. That's the Blue Raven Network. Visit our website at www.1blueraven.feebly.com.
Often duplicated, never replicated. You're listening to the all-new KBOU Radio Network, Blue Raven Network.